Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. One translation puts it like this: happy are the clean in heart, because they shall see the Lord. For any today whose heart is not clean, for anyone whose heart is not pure, how miserable, how sorrowful and depressing it is. But there is hope today. Oh, what a hope. What a hope we have in Jesus. Because God wants to cleanse and to make new in this house. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching today about a pure heart. A pure heart. Come on, somebody. Do you want to see the Lord? We've got to have a pure heart. Lord, I pray that you would do it in us. I pray that you would work in us. I pray that you would let there be a miracle in this house today. Lord, that you would give us a new heart, that you would minister and bless us here today, because we want to see you. We want to see your glory. We want to see your presence. We want to see your power. We want to see your touch upon this day. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. Please be seated today. What is the leading cause of death in our world today? Does anybody know? Heart disease. Heart disease. Cardiovascular disease. Heart disease, it actually includes a wide class of conditions which involve any disease of the heart, the blood vessels. However, it's interesting that it is estimated up to 90% of these conditions may be preventable. The leading cause of death, but up to 90% of these conditions could be preventable through healthy eating or exercise, avoiding tobacco, alcohol, along with treating other risk factors. Life expectancies can be increased. Isn't that something? With such a large percentage of our population affected by heart disease, it is a major focus of our healthcare system, and rightly so. But as important as this is, there's another heart problem today that needs even greater attention. Did you know that the word heart is in the Bible more than 900 times? And it's rarely used in the literal sense. Usually, the heart is talked about in the Bible as being the seat of our intellect, our feelings, and our will. It's our thoughts, our passions, our desires. The prophet Jeremiah talked about the heart. He warned us in Jeremiah 17 and 9. He said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Our heart can be so deceitful, more than anything else, the Bible says, and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad their heart is? Modern sayings like, "Follow your heart," "From the bottom of your heart," "After my own heart," "Cross your heart and hope to die," you know, all of that. Those sayings proclaim things that we really can't rely on, because who can know the heart? Jeremiah wasn't speaking literally of the organ within our body that beats in our chest, but he was speaking about the nature of fallen men and women. The tendency to follow after things that we know are wrong, yet we do them anyway. Paul knew a lot about this moral problem of the heart. He wrote about it in a way that we can all understand. His words in Romans 7:19 explain that this struggle is so real. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He says, I want to do good, but I don't. And I don't want to do that which is wrong, but I find myself doing it anyway. Oh, we've all been there. He goes on in Romans 7:24, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In other words, oh, what a miserable place this is to be in this predicament, to be caught up in this. Who will rescue me? Can anybody save me from this situation? Who will deliver me from this life of sin and death? And Paul was speaking for the entire human race. This was the Apostle Paul, the one who wrote more than half of the New Testament. The man greatly used by God, he struggled within his heart. And within every man and within every woman is the frightening potential to transgress against the laws of God, to go against his word, and to destroy ourselves through sin. Sometimes people will say, oh, I'd never do that. I'd never. We don't know what we do in certain situations. We'd like to think we know, and God help us, give us strength to do what's right, but we don't know our own heart. One of the scariest verses in the whole Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let anyone who thinks he stands, if we think we're standing strong, we better take heed that we don't fall. We just don't know what's in our heart. Paul's problem was not a lack of desire. He wanted to do what's right. His problem wasn't knowledge. He knew what was the right thing to do. He said his problem was something inside him. He said, sin that dwelleth in me. It was a matter of the heart. I've come to preach to somebody here today. I've come to preach to myself. I've come to preach to anyone who has a heart beating inside your chest. The main issues we'll have as a Christian, our main temptation, our greatest struggle, our weakest link is within our own heart. What happens when people backslide? Something affects their heart. Maybe it was over time, but their heart, it grew cold, and it's been too long since they've been on fire, and it's been too long since they were broken at an altar of prayer, and oh, it's been too long since their heart was tuned in to the heart of God, and something finds its way in. Maybe it's bitterness, unforgiveness, some offense that happened to them. Maybe it's rebellion. Maybe it's a crazy idea or a false doctrine. But it was some voice of the enemy that they start listening to, and it finds root. It's all a matter of the heart. Now, where did all this come from? Because we didn't ask for it. I didn't ask for it. You didn't ask for it. We didn't sign up for this. How did this happen to us? Why are we in this situation? Where did we get a bad heart? Our problem with sin goes back to the first man, Adam. You and I and every one of Adam's descendants have fallen into sin because of Adam's transgression. And just as physical heart issues can be inherited and passed down, the problem with our spiritual heart, it always comes from the bloodline. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and this sin, it brought death, and it was spread to all of us. We inherited this evil heart. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God's command in the Garden of Eden, they chose to disobey God. They chose to fall. When God created them, it was not with a sinful nature. He placed them in a perfect environment. He provided for all of their needs. He even warned them that if they disobeyed, this is what would happen. But still, they sinned against God. They directly disobeyed God's command. They chose to do it. And they imparted to all of us a tendency to sin. We all inherited that heart, every one of us. Romans 3:23, it declares, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all in the same boat today. None of us are perfect. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. Think about something with me today. You don't have to teach a child how to sin. But Madison, you're not going to have to teach Maddox how to act up. It's just going to happen. They don't have to be taught how to disobey, how to lie, how to get in trouble. It comes naturally. Even little children, don't touch that. And what do? As soon as they start communicating, they learn to lie. Did you do that? No. They know they're not supposed to do that. Babies, little kids, they're smart. They pick it up fast. They know what no means. One of ours, he figured it out at an early age. And if you tell him, he thought he just kind of, he knew what no meant, and he'd kind of turn it to work for his good. He would, if you tell him something to do that he didn't want to do, he'd say, "No, Mama said no." Mama said no. And I think Nana would tell him something to do, but nope, Mama said no. Mama said no. Kids know what no means. But there's something inside them that wants to do what they're not supposed to do. We're born with this sinful nature. That's why as parents we are instructed by God to teach our children. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. Without training, without proper guidance, without correction, they're going to follow their sinful nature. And even as adults, when we're faced with a moral dilemma, our heart doesn't always just jump at doing the right thing. Oh, we know what's right, and we know what lines up with the Word of God, but there can be a strong pull within us to do what's wrong. It's because we all have a heart problem that we inherited from our parents, and they got it from their parents, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And if we're not careful, that heart problem will prove to be fatal for us spiritually, because it leads us to sin, and sin cannot be in the presence of Almighty God. So what's the answer today? How can we overcome this problem? How are we supposed to get victory? If we've got this faulty heart, how can we ever see the Lord? Because it's only the pure in heart that will see God. In 1907, an American medical researcher, Simon Flexner, was one of the first to mention the possibility of heart transplantation. He wrote that one day it would be possible by surgery to replace diseased human organs, including arteries, stomach, kidneys, and the heart. In 1967, the world's first human-to-human heart transplant was performed in South Africa. A few days later, the first pediatric heart transplant was performed in Brooklyn, New York. The first adult heart transplant in the United States was performed in 1968 at the Stanford University Hospital. Today, about 5,000 heart transplants are performed each year the majority of these in the United States. And this procedure has come leaps and bounds from where it started. There's a picture here today. I want you to see this picture. You can kind of see it there, stretched a little bit. But in this picture, we see Freddie C. Everman. When Freddie died, he was the nation's longest surviving heart transplant recipient at that time. And in this picture, you see him holding a jar that contained his old diseased heart. The heart that would have killed him in a few days or weeks. But now it's no longer inside him. Can you imagine how crazy that would be? To look at your own heart inside of a jar? Because a new heart was beating inside his chest cavity. I read here that in this picture he was telling his doctor, "Boy, doc, I'm sure glad I don't have this old heart in me anymore." What is the answer to our heart problem today? I tell you what we need. We need a divine surgery. We need a heart transplant. We need God to take our old heart, all the sinful ways, all that's diseased and wrong in us. Lord, take it out of us and create a new heart in us. That's what salvation is. It's a new heart. It's a perfect heart. It's a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 tells us, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's the only way for us to see God. We've got to be made new. There has to be a procedure performed by the hand of Almighty God that washes us, that cleanses us, that makes us new. Oh, I'm telling you today, there's hope for your situation. There's hope for your problems. There's hope for your family. There's an answer to what you're going through today. The answer is Jesus has got to get a hold of your heart. Jesus has to transform you. Oh, come on. You're not too far for God to help and reach you. You're not too bad for God to make you new. Jesus is the answer for the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's something how the Bible all flows together. God knew what the plan of salvation was going to be before the day of Pentecost. How can the Lord make us new? It seems like an impossible task. But God told Israel in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. He said, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." He was speaking to Israel, but in it we see a glimpse of salvation. He will bring us out of the world. He will bring us out, and then he will wash us and make us clean. And a new heart he will give us, and a new spirit he will put inside of us. He's going to take away the stony heart and give us a new heart. He will put his spirit inside of us, and we will walk in his commandments, and we will do his will. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. He brings us out of the world. We repent of our sins. He washes us in baptism in the precious name of Jesus. And we are baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. He puts His Spirit inside of us. Oh, aren't you thankful for the Holy Ghost? Aren't you thankful for a new heart? Aren't you thankful for what God has done? Somebody just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in me. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving me where you found me. But God, you brought me out. You washed me, Lord. You made me new. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, I've come to tell you today, this is the answer you've been looking for. This is the help you need. This is what you have been searching for. It's a new heart. You can't get it anywhere else but from the hand of Almighty God. You can't find it in drugs. You can't find it in alcohol. You're not going to find it in this world. But right here in the presence of God, He can do a surgery. He can take out the old heart and make you new. Thank God for His transforming power. Here today, if you've never had that experience, I want to say it's not a hard thing. It's hard for us, but anything's possible for the Lord. In a few minutes, we're going to come around this altar, and if you've never had that experience, I want to say it's for you. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know what's in my heart, God. You know all the bad stuff I've done. You've seen it all, Lord, and I don't want to do those things anymore. So, God, forgive me. I turn away from sin, Lord. I'm turning away from all the bad, and I want to do what's right. Forgive me today. I repent, and I turn away. And then, if you begin to praise and to worship God, for His promise and for what you've heard by faith today, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God. You will start to feel it. Sometimes people respond in different ways. They feel chills. Sometimes they'll have their hands raised and you can see their hands start doing that. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God moving. Amen. When they begin to pray and they're praying in English, what happens? If you'll watch their lips start trembling. Their lips start trembling. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God that's moving, that's working. And as you're worshiping God and praising God, thanking Him for forgiving you of your sins, if you'll just respond to what you're feeling, all of a sudden, I tell you, the Lord will start to speak through you. That's His Spirit as He's filling your heart. The Bible talks about it's the evidence of speaking with other tongues. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And as you begin to speak in a heavenly language now, in tongues, the power and the Spirit of God will flood your life, and He will do a transformation in your heart. And so God works, God moves, God transforms, God gives us a new heart. But some of you, some of us, we remember the day that God gave us a new heart. And oh, the joy. And oh, the freedom. And oh, the victory. But what happens if we don't eat right and we don't exercise? We don't follow the doctor's orders. We get back in the same condition. And so what do we do now? Because God's already delivered me, but now I've got all this stuff again. And now I'm in the church. And now I'm supposed to be living for God. and I'm supposed to have victory, and I'm supposed to be helping others, and I'm supposed to be teaching Bible studies, and I'm supposed to be winning my friends. And so how do I reconcile all of this? Because now I know my heart, it's not right. I don't even know what's all in it. I just know it's not right. So what do we do? And things will try to come back in. Sometimes there's trauma that happens after we've been in the church. Things happen to us that are painful. Things, tragedies will come. People will hurt us. People will say things or do things that they're meant to destroy us, and they almost do, and we still kind of struggle along, but still it's in our heart. I want to tell you about 4 o'clock this morning. I woke up, and it almost felt physical, but it wasn't physical. It was spiritual. It was a burden on my heart. I thought, what's going on? Let me turn over. And I realized it wasn't my physical heart. It was just a burden I felt for somebody today, that there's a work that God wants you to do, but you're being held back by what's in your heart. And so when things try to come back in, and there's trauma, and there's situations that have hurt our heart, and it's heavy on us, maybe there's unforgiveness that's there. Sometimes we don't even realize the unforgiveness that's in our heart. It's a root of bitterness that goes deep into our heart. And because of situations that happen, oh, we say we've forgiven, we say we've moved on, but there's still a root that's there. What do we do with this? How do we make it through this? Lord, I want to do what's right, but here I find myself doing what's wrong. That's the Apostle Paul that said that. He knew exactly what you're going through. He felt it. He experienced it. I want to tell you today, you're not by yourself. But Paul knew what you were going through. This pastor understands what you're feeling and what you're dealing with. Oh, God, I want to do what's right, but I find myself doing what's wrong. And I don't want to do what's wrong, but here I am, Lord. God, I need your help. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man. This is miserable. I don't like living like this. I don't like going through this. Where is my hope? Where does my help come from? I've come to tell you it's a lie from the enemy that you have to stay in that condition. It's a lie from the enemy that you have to stay bound. God wants to set you free. God wants to cleanse your heart. God wants to make you new again. David had sinned. Not only had he committed adultery with Bathsheba, but then he had killed her husband after he tried to cover it all up. And I mean, that's rough. Psalm 51 and 10, he prays, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." If you know today that you're struggling with what's in your heart, you need to write that scripture everywhere you look. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your phone. Put it in your car. Everywhere you look, and every time you think of it, you need to pray that, "God, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me." One of the greatest stories of my day of salvation, of what God has done, is actually in the first lady of our church. And I didn't ask her if I could do this, but she's talked about and taught on this before, of how she loved the world. She loved the things of the world. She liked to do the things of the world, go the places of the world, experience the things of the world, dress like the world. She loved it. She'd pray, God, you got to take those desires out of my heart and give me new desires. And now those things of the world, sure, the sin is pleasurable for a season. It is. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day that you're going to find yourself broken and bound and addicted. And I tell you, it's not going to be fun. But somebody today would pray, God, you've got to take these desires out of my heart and give me new desires. I believe that the Lord could do it in this house. I believe he could do it right here today. But you've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm putting it all on the altar because I'm miserable. Oh, wretched man that I am. I don't want to live this way anymore. But God, I've got to have you to make me new. And so sometimes people come to the Lord and God does a work, and then they get in this rut, so to speak, where they're going back and forth. They sin, they mess up, and then they fall, they get back up again, they keep falling again, and God forgives them, and here they are, but then they go, and it's just this cycle. It's not how much we fall, it's if we keep getting back up. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19, Jeremiah said, remembering mine affliction and my misery. Okay, he's talking to somebody here today. The wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. I don't care how bad you messed up yesterday. The mercy of God, the compassion of God, the faithfulness of God, it's brand new today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on. Come on, somebody. How much will the Lord forgive me? How many times do I fall until he says, I'm done with you? It's not how many times we fall, but it's how many times we get back up and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. God forgives. His mercy is new every morning. His mercy, his compassion, his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. But here's the thing. The Bible talks about do not give place to the devil. Do not give place to the devil. How does God fight saints of God who are in ministry? He's the accuser of the brethren. He'll go back, sometimes way back, to find something we did. Where we messed up, where we sinned, and he accuses. Who are you to be a pastor? Because you've messed up. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, okay? Every single one of us. Neither give place to the devil. When we sin, we are opening up a door for later on the enemy to come back again and again and again and to attack us and accuse us. And sometimes people just under the weight of that, it's just a struggle the rest of their life. There has to be something that gets a hold of us. It's almost like, you know, you've seen people bow up. You got to bow up to the devil. You got to. There's some people, they are so abused by the devil. They are so tormented by the devil. He's just, every day, he's just on their case. And they think they've got to take it. It's kind of like the bully on the playground. I had a bully. He was a lot bigger than me. But one day I'd had enough. And I stood up to him. And all of a sudden he became my friend. Isn't that something? Now, you don't want to be friends with the devil. But sometimes you got to bow up. No, this is not who I am. This is not who I'm meant to be. I'm not meant to live in this condition. I'm not meant to keep on doing this sin over and over again. I'm meant to have victory. There's a calling upon my life. I'm meant to go forward. I'm meant to minister and to serve and to help the church. Come on, somebody. The blessings of God, the calling of God is on your life, and you need to stop. Don't give place to the devil. This is enough. I'm leaving this on the altar, and I'm going to go in victory. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Blessed are those with a pure heart, for they shall see God. Come on, somebody today. Would you pray with me? Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Lord, you know what's in my heart. Search me, O Lord. See if there be any evil way in me. If there's any evil in any room of my heart, Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me. I pray that you would forgive me, Lord. Deliver me today, Lord. I'm crying out to you. I need a heart transplant. I need you to make me new. I need you to set me free. I need your glory and your power to get a hold of me right now. God, I need a miracle today. I need a new heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, give me a new heart today. I need a clean heart, oh, God. I need you to deliver me. Oh, wretched man that I am. Lord, save me. Save me from my own heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee also youthful lusts. There's some situations we don't need to put ourselves in. Well, I want to do what's right, but I just keep doing what's wrong. Well, why do you keep going to hang out with the same crowd that's doing those things? Young people, oh, I committed fornication. I don't want to do that anymore. Why are you in a parked car in a dark place at midnight? Why are you watching a movie in somebody's basement, curled up on the couch? Probably watching a movie you don't need to be watching anyway. not in my notes, folks. Maybe it's from the Lord, maybe it's from me, but it's good stuff, you know. I don't know what happened. I just went and did it. Who were you with? Who were you listening to? What were you taking part in? What kind of music was playing? Come on, all of this stuff has an effect on our heart. Music today, I've preached about this before. Saul would have an evil spirit. It was actually, the Bible talks about the Lord was working. But David would come with playing in his harp. And the evil spirit would leave. If music can make the evil spirit leave, music can summon the evil spirit to us. God help us. Flee also youthful lust. Well, I just don't know. I just all of a sudden I was drunk and I just happened. Well, why did you go to a party where they were drinking? Flee also youthful lust. God will deliver. God will bring us out. God will give us a new heart. But don't go putting yourself back in the same situation. Realize you're better than that. You have a calling on your life. The blessings of God are upon you. There is an anointing that God has placed upon you. You are not meant for the things of the world. You are not meant for the things of sin. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody today, there's some relationships that you need to go and you need to break it off because it's not a godly influence. There's some people today, you've got some stuff at home. You've got some stuff, maybe nobody knows about it, but you need to go home and you need to throw it away. You need to burn it. You need to go through your phone. You need to clean out some stuff in your phone. You need to go and go through Spotify. No, I'm not listening to that kind of music. I'm not letting that influence in my home. I gotta have a pure heart. I've gotta have a pure heart because I gotta see the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I preached about it Friday night at the funeral. There's coming a day that the trump of God is gonna sound. And the Lord's gonna call us home to be with Him. But it's those that have a pure heart, they're gonna see God. Somebody needs to make your way to this altar right now and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Lord, I lay some stuff down. I'm making a commitment to you. I'm not going back to the same place I've been. I'm not going back to do those things. I'm cutting some relationships off. I've got to make some things right because, God, I want to see you. I want to see you. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit in me. Lord, I've got to have your mercy. I've got to have your grace. But Lord, I pray that you would give me a new heart. Give me a new heart. Deliver me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Cleanse me today. Wash me, Lord. Oh, I need a new heart.